Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Matson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine. So this evening, I have the pleasure to be joined by David McHugh of ProAir. David is a veteran of the ventilation industry in Ireland, and we're here to chat about different ventilation types and common questions around mechanical ventilation with heat recovery, often known as MVHR or HRV or any variation on the acronym. So obviously ventilation, when we're building a house nowadays, it's an important aspect to consider. It's just as important as what heating system you're going to choose. So having a well thought out ventilation strategy will really ensure your home doesn't build up moisture. So we're all in favor of that. No moisture, nothing to pollute the air that we breathe in every day and every night. So David, I guess the place to start would be to run us through the different types of ventilation systems that are actually out there, so people know what their options are when they're building a new home.
Okay, thank you, Astrid. I suppose you can break ventilation down into two types, natural ventilation and mechanical ventilation. Natural ventilation is the wind as such on your building, and if it can get in, whether it's let in by purpose-built openings in the walls or the windows, like holes, and let out again through bathrooms, either directly up into the onto the vents on the roof because of the nature of warm air rising, or that's helped along by extract fans in bathrooms, and then you have a kitchen extract, that kind of thing. So that's pretty much natural ventilation. Now, we all grew up with natural ventilation. We had leaky houses and open fire. Well, no, Astrid didn't. She's too young. But
I wish.
There was lots of open fires and stoves and things like that. So, but nowadays, houses are built differently. And not many of those appliances. And we use mechanical ventilation mainly. Now, there's a simple mechanical ventilation. Just a fan in a box, usually in the attic, connected to your wet rooms, taking out air continuously 24/7 at a low enough level, and it's available to ramp up if you want it to, like if you're going to the shower or cooking, etc. That air going out with this system has to be, any liter of air that leaves the building has to be replaced by another liter of air. And just when we talk about air and quantities and everything else, we breathe in about, depending on how big we are, between a third and a half a liter per second and out. So air is measured in liters per second pretty much. So every litre that leaves the building, whether naturally or mechanically assisted, has to be replaced by air coming in. Now, with what we call mechanical extract ventilation, like the fan in the attic, that air has to come through openings, usually in the wall. And that's difficult to filter, and of course it's cold air. But yes, it's ventilation. It will keep your pollutants at bay, like Astrid said, with moisture and then all the other pollutants that we generate as families.
There's a pressure that happens, isn't there? Like when it sucks up the air, and then there's like a pressure differential where it sucks in then the cold air from all the vents.
Yeah, anytime
is
you
that
take
how
out
it works?
Yeah, that's yeah. exactly how it works. An extract fan is almost like it's creating a vacuum just around it, and air moves into it, and it moves from further and further away to fill that space, and as it keeps getting vacuumed, it's like a vacuum cleaner almost. Okay. So it is negative pressure that's built up that causes air to come in to replace it. As I said, anything that has to be taken out, anything that's taken out has to be brought in. So moving from that, then you have, that's really what we might call a half system. It's ducted from the fan to the bathrooms and the kitchen. But then we could have heat recovery ventilation, where we have a slightly bigger unit, and air is taken in as well to that unit. And the air coming in passes through the air going out without mixing with it, and gets warmed up to almost the temperature of the air leaving.
So then you're not bringing in cold drafts of air, which is the benefit of that system.
Exactly. Exactly. And even though it's not cold, but it's not warm, it's not hot. It's called heat recovery ventilation. Yes, it recovers the heat from the air going out to the air coming in. And it's a very important point. I get calls, you know, people that move into their house and say, oh, this air is cold. What's the story with it? And I say, well, or sometimes we go out and we check it out, and we put up our instrument to it, and we find that it's 19, maybe 19 degrees, because the house is at 20.5. So there's a very small loss, usually, yeah. If the job is done properly. It can be more, it can be colder if not done properly.
So what's a passive input ventilation then? Because that's something that's I'm seeing crop up with kind of the changes in the building regs, tightening things up quite a bit in the Republic, and some people are looking at that as an option, as kind of the natural ventilation option. That's a stack effect.
There's what they call passive stack.
Right. Okay.
That's pure natural ventilation, where you are using the natural property of air when it warms up, that it rises and rises up through a pipe, a duct going up through your attic and up onto your roof slates thence. So that's what they call passive stack. So there's a duct coming from a bathroom up onto a roof outlet. And is that what you meant, or there's another?
Yeah, and then the passive input. Yeah, the passive PIV.
Positive input.
Positive.
PIV.
Sorry.
Positive.
Positive. Too many acronyms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Positive input ventilation.
That's why we're here. We're hoping to clarify a few things.
Yes.
But,
exactly.
Yeah. A passive stack is as we said, it's a stack like a chimney or a pipe. That allows warm air to escape through it, up through it, right? So that in itself, every litre that leaves through that has to be replaced by another litre. So that's ventilation. Every time you take out some air and you put in air, you're replacing it, you're changing the air in the house with new air. That's ventilation. Now, what Astrid asked there about was positive input ventilation. That's almost the reverse of mechanical extract that I talked about earlier. because it's another similar kind of a box that would go in your attic space or loft space. And instead of taking air out, it's putting air in. It's turning the other way. And sometimes air is taken from the attic area through filters, etc. I don't think that's a great job. And others take it from a vent in the roof or the soffit or somewhere, fresh air coming in, again through filters, and supplied into your house, usually into your landing. But that's going to be cold air in wintertime.
Okay. And that's and then cold how does it air leave? Is, oh, sorry,
it,
go ahead.
It leaves by, yeah, first of all, it's cold air and it drops. Hot air rises, cold air falls. So it mixes with the air in your house and circulates around. And then when your bathroom fan comes on, it sucks it out. Or it finds its way out through, again, holes in the wall or the windows. So it's the opposite, really, to mechanical extract.
Okay. But there's still a unit.
Another way to do it, there is still a unit. And it's not, yes, it does the job. It doesn't really matter which direction the air is moving, whether it's coming in through a mechanical and going out through natural or the other way around. But my opinion would be that it's a surer thing with the mechanical extract. It's much more controllable. You know what's happening.
Yeah. So then in terms of mechanical ventilation with heat recovery, there's two types. There's the teed and manifold. Is that how you would describe different types, or how would you categorize, like, when you
That is a description that's used. You have a T system, yes, where you have a main large duct going down through your attic space and teed off to different rooms and down to the rooms downstairs, etc., to the partitions. And that's one way to do it. You would need to, if you're doing it that way, you need to have silencers at the end of each run so that, or at some part in that run, so that it's not so much that the noise from the fan unit or the heat recovery unit might be transmitted, but there's a danger that adjacent rooms might have crosstalk between them. So the silencer, usually a meter of kind of perforated insulated duct, is what they're usually made of, and that's enough to muffle any sound from room to room. That's a commercial way to do ventilation. It's the way we always did commercial units, like factories and open plan offices and stuff like that, where you didn't worry too much about that kind of thing, about who's in the bedroom next door or what's going on. So, and that a lot of what happened when the residential ventilation started to come into being in the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of the guys like me, who worked in commercial industrial a very long time ago, used the same techniques. But we soon learned that it's a very difficult, different kind of application. When you're dealing with families and sound is huge in all of this, and more exact airflows and levels, amounts of air, all of that kind of thing, we changed our thinking. And the manifold system came into being maybe 15 years ago or more, whatever. And in our company, we use like almost a hybrid of the two.
Each room has its own set of pipes that goes back to the central unit. Exactly. Is that manifold? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. That's a manifold system, but the term itself has evolved a lot from in Germany, where they have a lot of apartments and they came up with the idea of having a semi-rigid small duct that comes in a roll, and they can't be teed. So they started to take them off a central point. So you feed your air into a box and you come off this like a spider. And especially, I think that's where it started, really. It's a hard, semi-flexible plastic that you can bury in concrete, as they started doing that time. It's small bore, so you have to be careful that you have enough of it. It comes in two sizes, 63 millimeters diameter on the inside and 75 millimeters diameter. I would rarely want to use less than two for any room, with the 63 especially. We use a solid plastic duct off a manifold also, but we use different size ducts coming off that. And where we'd have a main bedroom and a walk-in wardrobe, we'd use a T. So that's why I call it like a hybrid system. Or maybe we're coming down into a living room with a bit larger duct off our box, and then we T again, because you don't worry about sound in the same area. So, yeah, the T and the manifold, or the T system, the manifold system, would be common enough terms, but you usually relate manifold systems to semi-rigid duct. We use, as I said, like a mixture, whichever works. We design it, the size of duct, in accordance with which room we're serving, etc.
Okay, so then walk us through a typical self-build scenario where, from design to installation and checking the system works and maintenance, I guess, like the design phase, as with anything, is the crucial bit to get right, from what I understand. Low duct runs, like not having too many long runs, that kind of thing. How does the design kind of, how do you, when you get a set of plans, like what's the process when you deal with the self-builder?
Ideally, we get the set of plans before the job goes on site.
Is that the case usually?
No. Sometimes it's heard about in the pub at the weekend. And I'm ready to put up plasterboard. Can you come through? But
so we just remembered we'd like it. Yeah.
they're very good, some of them, and they're doing their research, especially with the self-built shows. I think they're fantastic for people to come in that they say, I'm just about to buy a site. And that's fantastic. And you tell them, and you start them early, because I don't want to be disrespectful to architects, but some of them have no appreciation of how this works. And we get in houses that have no place to put a unit. It's assumed that they go up in the attic. We try every day to kill that assumption. That's not the place to put them. In the colder countries, they would laugh at you if you talked about putting them up in the attic. They really should be in a special plant area, along with your washing machine, maybe, and your air-to-water heat pump and your patch panel for your Wi-Fi, whatever, you know, that's in there. There's lots of stuff, technology nowadays, that needs to go somewhere, and it can all go and in one place. And ideally for the ventilation, well, we don't need a window in that room either. And ideally it's in at the back of the house, and it has a bit of outside wall so that we can take our air in and exhaust our waste air out easily. So that part of the design. And that piece of duct from outside and to outside, they're going to be the cold pieces, and they need to be as short as possible. And then if you're in that inside the envelope, as we call it, inside the building in a plant area, that's a warm space. That's in your house. So those two cold pieces of duct need to be short and well insulated. And everything else then doesn't need any insulation.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So we like the design. The first thing we look at, of course, is the size of the house. Secondly, where the, might a unit or units go? And we work from there. And of course, we have to get a price out. We can look at this kind of thing and see how feasible it all is, and we get a price out, and we do the deal. And when people do the deal with us, we say, next process is the design, and it goes over to the design department. And we're no different to many other good companies that, you know, whether they're using the semi-rigid or the solid duct or whatever, they will do design, because you have to do design. You have to decide how much air is going to be put into each room and taken out of each room, and what size duct is needed, or how many of them, all of that. And that follows through then when the job is done. Whether you do it yourself, sometimes it's that easy. It's like Lego if it's well designed, and nowadays on 3D models as well. Whoever installs it, and you move into your house, and then you have to commission it and get it. That means getting it to work the way it should, the way it's designed to work. And measuring all the flow rates in each room, are they as per the design, adjusted, etc., to make sure they are. Because especially in the Republic and the North, they can get checked by the authorities.
So then, so in terms of that design, how big is that unit you're saying? I mean, people put it in the attic because it's out of the way and you don't have to ever think about it. I know you have to service them and change the filters once in a while, but it might get a bit cold up there as well for the unit. But how big is the unit? Like, because, you know, between the hot water cylinder, the heat pump control.
It's usually kind of twice the size of a gas boiler, might be the way to talk about it.
Very compact. You can make room for it.
You can make room. And it can go at high level as well. You can put stuff underneath it.
Right, okay.
You won't always be as young as Astrid. You might be as old as me, and you won't be able to go up in the attic to change the filters.
It's not ideal for access and for servicing or anything that needs to get done to it. So once it's been installed to the plans, to the design, then it's commissioned, you were saying, because it gets checked by yourselves, and then it can be double checked by the authorities. So what kind of general tips, advice, I suppose, for people to take on board for the whole process? Common mistakes you see happen that people make? I'm sure there are many.
Suppose having plans
is the first thing, isn't it? That when you to approach you at not when you're actually at the building phase, but to actually have plans. To make sure they'll fit, because what if you can't access a room that needs ventilating, like in terms of services, it gets a bit tricky. You're going to have to box it in or something like that, which doesn't look great.
Yeah. And of course, the smaller the apartment, the buildings and the apartments, the more difficult it all gets. Yeah. But there are more and more smaller units coming on the market for that kind of thing. I suppose the important thing, I mean, the people that are listening here tonight are here for a reason, because they're very interested, but there's a kind of an ambivalence around about this whole ventilation. It's not really that important. We never had it, you know, 50 years ago, and why do we have to have it now? And you know, it's very simple. You take food and water and heat and air into your body, is the air not just as important as the others? You know, so you have to think about things in a different way. You have to think about it in a holistic way. It's about health, clean air,
yeah,
constant amount of it, you know. So think about things like that.
No,
the people that are on here tonight, they don't make that many. That's why they're on.
We hope so anyway. If they were about to forget about the insulation, they won't after this, hopefully. Because obviously the homes are made so airtight and insulated. There's very little way for air to escape and ventilate through.
Yeah, we don't have natural ventilation anymore through leaks, really. If you do, you're in trouble because, like at the shows, the young couples come along and with their plans, and they say, "We don't know much about this. What do you suggest?" And I say, "Well, I have a bit of a joke with them, and I say the three most important things about your house are insulation, because you want to be healthy and comfortable and warm for the next whatever number of decades. And insulation is not about massive amounts of it, it's about getting it done right. So they're the tips I would say to people. Think about, have a good builder and a good professional around you. That's very important. They're worth the money to have these people that know about all of this stuff. And then, of course, when you get the insulation right, you'll have a really warm but airtight structure. So then your professional needs to be able to advise you on ventilation strategies, whether they advise you to come to someone like us or whatever, or whoever. But it's very important. That's the tip I'd give. I mean, I built my house 35 years ago, and I didn't really know what I was doing. Even today, I wonder would I do it again. Even this much later, and all the experience I've had over those years, a builder is a professional in his own right. You know, the ventilation professional is another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all getting very specialized. With these higher standards as well. It's important to have someone you can trust to do all the checks at the end of it all, whether it be your engineer with the ventilation system, I suppose that whole commissioning process, having a good professional that you hire to actually check that it's all doing all its airflows and all the stuff it needs to actually do to keep the house properly ventilated. Yeah, it is vital, isn't it? The more complicated it gets,
yeah, and we can make it more complicated if you want.
We'll try not to, if we can avoid it.
well, it's for a good reason, because these ventilation systems now, if you have a very well insulated, very well engineered, airtight building, you will need so little heat that you can transmit that heat through the air and cooling through the air. Cooling is becoming a very popular thing.
So, but that's a different thing with cooling through ventilation, because a normal mechanical ventilation system with heat recovery won't do cooling, will it?
Not many of them, but they're there.
Yeah. And how does that work? With
the one that we have a little outdoor unit, so we're taking heat from the outdoor air and we're taking heat from the air in the house and adding them together and transferring that back into the supply air, and it supplies air instead of now at 19, 20 degrees, it's 38, 39 degrees. So it's a small amount of, it's high temperature, but it's small amount of air, so you need your house very well insulated so that it doesn't need that much heat for this to work. You're limited in the amount of heat by the ventilation air, because you don't want to put in extra air. It means extra heat just for the sake of that.
Okay.
So if you can match the insulation and the fabric, as we call it, to the system. You can have a highly, highly efficient system that will cost you a couple of hundred euro a year to heat, well, to cool your house as well. It might be a little bit, maybe 300-400 euro a year.
So wait, but so when you're saying, you're talking about heating the house with that outdoor unit. So it's like a heat pump then, because of the cold air, there's cold outside. Yeah. It is a heat pump. Yeah. Integrated with
The ventilation.
Yeah. Unit. So the heat pump works both ways and is linked up with the ventilation system. So it all goes through the vents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then
yeah, that's handy.
It's heating up air outside and it's cooling it inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because overheating is really becoming a big problem now, for sure, for the summer. Yeah,
it is.
But it costs more to run it in cooling mode than heating mode. Does it?
Not necessarily.
I would imagine.
Again.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to get into the depths of that or not.
No, but, well, no, it's just, I would assume that cooling for some reason would be more onerous on the system, but I guess it could work both
discouraged
ways.
It's discouraged by the NSA, the SAI, etc., because cooling systems, they were seen as a luxury that we don't need. And yes, there's highly efficient ways now to do this. And it's a lot of it has to do with humidity in the air, etc.
Technology advances so fast.
Yes. But yes, you can actually cool now as efficiently as you can heat. So if you take the two together, you're still not spending more on your energy than you would with a normal air to water that just does heating. And for that, you're getting cooling as well.
Mm. Cost-wise, how does it compare? I know this is very specific to what you do. how does it compare to just bolting on a heat pump to...
On the floor, an air-to-water. Well, compared to air-to-water, which will need a heat recovery unit as well, it's probably actually cheaper, but we wouldn't sell it as a cheaper option because we'd be saying to people, if you save any money on the plant, you should put it into your windows and your insulation and higher grade so that you can have your demand more. So no, it's not as a cheap
The idea
solution.
Is to have very little demand.
Yes.
Well, the way we build our homes today, I mean, in the Republic, the requirements are quite high. So, I mean, it's not very much heat escaping, like building reg standard. It's pretty good. Isn't it good enough for the kind of system you have?
You have to build to what they call an A2 standard today to comply. Mm-hmm. And there's also A1. And
yes.
The passive house standard, which is better again. So it's a lot better than it was, but there's still quite a lot of leeway to move on.
But I mean, your system to be efficient, you have a threshold at which you go, well, you shouldn't install this add-on heat pump if your house isn't up to
exactly.
Something
it's not
up to what?
A1
is it?
An airtight. Well, yes.
Or passive house.
High A2. In other words, if you comply with the regulations through a building fabric approach, you can comply with regulations by putting in solar panels, and you don't have to worry that much about some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Or even
yeah.
heat pumps. Will help you as well. But if you think about it, if you get up to the high A2s, approaching A1, well, then you can use the air to heat and cool.
Excellent. Listen, it's starting to make a bit more sense to integrate these things, because having all these separate things all over the place, it's good to have one.
Yes.
One point. I'll try to simplify it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. hopefully.
It is really, because it might be complex in how in itself, but cars are complex and nobody needs to know how they work. They just drive and it should be the same with these systems.
Yeah. No. So you're the new Tesla, are you, David?
If I had Elon's money, I wouldn't need to be here, would I?
Yeah, wouldn't we all? That's great. Well, listen, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Astrid.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Self-Build Plus journey, which is your step-by-step guide to self-building and home improving. Your membership also gives you first access to all videos and podcasts, as well as access to our members-only Facebook group, which features regular Facebook Live events.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.